This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You're about to launch into a Mad Wednesday Joy podcast.
You're on Mad Wednesdays on Joy 94.9, and I'm very excited because right now, joining us here on the show is some, well, music legends, quite frankly. I have spent my childhood hearing the music that they've done, and I'm very excited to have them here with us today on Mad Wednesdays. I'm, of course, talking about Vika and Linda Bull. Hello, welcome to the show. This is pretty exciting because this week you have brought out your anthology, and with over 30 years in the music industry, that must be really exciting.
That's pretty exciting, yeah. We're pretty excited. But it's just that period of our career, to 1994 to 2006, when we made 5 studio albums and 2 live albums. It was after we left the Black Sorrows and went on our own. And, yeah, so we just sort of picked 28 songs that we agreed upon and liked and made it into an anthology.
Was that hard to pick which 28 ones you wanted to decide on?
Yeah, it was a pain in the neck.
There was a lot of to-ing and fro-ing, and a bit, you know, it was tricky because we're so different. We've got different tastes. We like different versions of songs, of the same song. So we came together by just sort of picking the ones we liked, and then we put those two lists together.
So it just blows my mind to think you've got different versions, you've got things, and just both of you arguing about what's going to be on this anthology and being so passionate about it all.
I'm very glad that we did do different versions of some songs because, you know, some songs, like, what's that song Cindy Boast wrote? It's beautiful.
Holy Waters.
And the first time we recorded that, I think we didn't do it the right way, so we did it again, you know, a few years down the track and did a beautiful kind of acoustic version. So that's the version we put on the record. So yeah. It was things like that. We were really lucky that we did think some things twice, you know, and we had a bit to choose from.
Yeah. It's that funny thing as well, like you were saying at the start of the interview, you were with the Black Sorrows and then forged your own path. And I actually forgot that. When I was looking at all the information and researching the interviews, I was like, that's right, you guys were a part of the Black Sorrows. I completely forgot because it's the music that you've created together and kept on moving forward with that stays with me the most.
Oh, really?
That's great. Oh, yeah, we're in that band for 7 years. We learned a lot in being in that band. I think it prepared us sort of, it was really tough working 6 nights a week for 7 years,
yeah.
And, you know, singing in a rock and roll band and touring the Australian pub scene, and we went overseas a lot, and it was really good training for me and Linda.
Was it weird to then go from that to forging your own path together?
No, it kind of ticked away in the background, Dean. We when we were on tour with the Sorrows, it was pretty harrowing, but at the same time, we'd go down and do a regular gig at the Espy or the Cherry Tree in Melbourne. And we just kept kind of trying to work our own material and work towards doing our own album. One thing that was difficult when we started in the band was how to entertain. I mean, Joe Camilleri is like a master at that. We watched him do that. So that's what we were kind of honing in those skills, our harmony, you know, how to front a band and do all those things ourselves. So it wasn't difficult because we worked really hard at it and we worked behind the scenes. So, you know, it was a lot of preparation.
Mm. Do you think you consider yourself both very lucky that both musically and through this journey of your careers in the industry, you've had each other?
Yeah. We've been really lucky to have each other. I mean, touring life can be really lonely.
Yeah.
And, and just to have your sister with you, you know, every step of the way, I think it's saved our life, really.
Yeah, you know, I do too.
Could have easily gone off the rails, especially me. But,
Yeah, I agree.
True. Yeah, and you're having your sister. It's like, hey, time to go to bed. Come on, Vic, you know. because I'm a bit of a party animal. So, yeah, you know, I think it's been really great having Linda there every step of the way.
It's also, Dean, like, you know, if one person loses their voice and the other one, you know, hasn't, then we can kind of carry each other on stage a bit. Like, you know, we know each other's parts. We can swap over. You know, if you're singing, you know, our own show and we're tired or not getting it, like, because I'll sing one more song or Vika will sing one less or vice versa, you know, we bounce off one another. We know what's going on. We don't have to say anything because we just grew up with each other. We don't want to see each other do badly.
Exactly. Now, I mean, it's a pretty exciting time to be bringing out the anthology, but a weird one as well with everything that's kind of happening in the world and happening with live music in Australia.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my goodness, it's terrible. You know, everyone's lost their job.
Yeah.
You know, it's tough, you know. Some of our buddies are doing it really tough and we've just got to do what we can do. So, but one thing that we, through this period, I has forced us to be a little bit creative. So, yeah, getting the anthology together, and we've been doing a Sunday sing-song every Sunday, and we're making a gospel record, and then we're going to make another record next month, and it sort of forced us to be a bit productive, like probably more so than we have been, because we haven't released a record in, like, 18 years.
Yeah.
So this is a...
We're making three in three months.
Yeah, so it's been very productive.
Well, I mean, which is wonderful, but it also speaks to the power of live music and live music venues and actually seeing performers in that world and in what they do, because that's what you've been doing this entire time, and you're still known, you're still right up there, everyone still wants to come and see you and loves the music in which you do, and that's because of the live scene. So it's something that we really need to make sure that we, you know, keep moving forward and cherish and remember.
Like Vika said, of course we do, because, you know, we don't have anybody to play. No one wants to see us dance around our land room for the rest of our lives, do they?
I'm sick of looking at your land room, Lulu.
I'm sick of cleaning it.
28 songs on the anthology, and it was a tough one to pick. Were there any that didn't make it, but you just wish they had, but you just both couldn't decide?
No.
You're happy all round?
Yeah.
I hope so. I mean, I just, you know, I know that there'll be someone out there who'll go, why didn't you whack that one on the record? But, you know, we had to make sure that we agreed on everything, that we liked every single song on that best of.
I guess,
and
I
so
think,
there are,
oh, sorry.
There is a song, I'm sorry, there's a song that our bass player Bill McDonald wrote called Your Love Is Like a Star, and I love that song, and I think that if we did a reissue, we could whack that on.
I think one of the things I love is finding out why this song means, why you love it, why you love this version, why it matters to you as a part of the anthology. Because you're right, people are like, that one was my favourite, why isn't that there? Or I preferred this one a little bit more. But, you know, what's really special about an anthology is it really is the artist looking back on what they've done, picking the things that mean something to them and re-gifting them for all of us to listen.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Can you write our press release? I mean, that's absolutely the reason why you do it. Like, you don't just chuck out a record that you don't feel anything for.
Yeah.
You know, our heart and soul is in it because we chose songs that aren't necessarily, they're our favourites, and we are mindful of what people like, but it's got our stamp on it. Like the Blue Hour, it's a beautiful song Stephen Cummings wrote that we recorded for our first record. I love the way Digger sings that, you know, it's just, that was important for me to have on.
With such a large and long career in the music industry, did you look back at some music and be like, oh, definitely not that one, or no, or just, is it weird to kind of look back at music now from so long ago?
Going back and visiting those songs again has brought back a lot of different memories, you know. Good and bad. There is stuff in there, some stuff that we've recorded that I really hate. It's like, oh, God, what were we thinking, you know? But I think every musician has that.
Yeah, totally.
You know, you have to go through the stinkers to get through the, to get to the good stuff, you know.
Yeah, you've got to kiss a lot of frogs.
But it's weird, I guess we wouldn't even know. Like, we have a completely different relationship to it. I guess what I think really excites me is with something like an anthology or listening to artists talk about those songs from the past and why they're giving them back to us again is because there's stories to them that we don't even realise. There's stories in the music, there's stories in the lyrics that we don't even understand because it's what it meant to us at that time, which is why it's great to be able to revisit them.
Well, the song, exactly right. Like the song Akila Toa, the title of the album, it's the song that we sing entirely in our mother's language of Tongan. And we sang that down in mine at Peter Gabriel's studio in Bath. You know, we sang it with the head torch on and hard hat. And things like House of Love was written about me nearly burning the house down brewing beer, and Never Let Me Go is Vika sort of singing that song for 8 hours in the studio nonstop until they got the right take. So, the songs transport you to a time when you recorded them. And, you know, When Will You Fall For Me, the film clip still makes me a little uncomfortable because, you know, standing on a swing that doesn't swing, for goodness sake.
It was a bit stupid, wasn't it, that clip?
It's always the way, though, isn't it?
You've got to look back and go, oh, my God, you know, it's funny, you know, have a good old giggle, and then our children get to see it and they have a good laugh too.
Oh, yeah. It's great being the butt of everybody's jokes in the family.
Well, you know what? If you're the butt of everyone's jokes with the career that you've had, then at least everyone can keep on laughing because the music that you've continued to bring us is bloody fantastic and is going to keep getting even better. So I'm really excited to grab the anthology and have a listen. Akila Toa, it's out right now.
Yay!
And it's out right now, and go and grab it. And thank you so much for joining us today on the show.
Oh, Dean, thank you. You're beautiful. Thank you, Dean.
You're on Mad Wednesdays on Joy 94.9.
You've been listening to a Mad Wednesday Joy podcast, driving you home and keeping you sane for your hump day, live every Wednesday from 4 on Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.